Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday service of Fisherman Ministry at Grace Chapel.
I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I got the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding, abiding in the vine. I'm abiding. Make them mine. I got prosperity, power, and victory, abiding, abiding in the vine. I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I got the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding, abiding in.
Is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. The spirit.
Lord a cheer. Praise your name, Lord.
Praise
Jesus.
You, Lord.
Yeah. Well, praise God. We've got a little bit of a skeleton crew out here today. We got power problems. We got some sickness going around. And Lord, I just ask that you handle all of this, Lord. Just take care of it. Amen?
Amen.
I think it was... Yeah, it must have been yesterday. I was speaking with somebody about how we perceive things, you know, out there in the world. We hear things with our ears, we see things with our eyes, that sort of thing. And it goes through this, you know, this, computer processor that we call a brain, right? And really what happens is, we filter these things, and a lot of times we see what it is we want to see. That filter that we use is like our mind, you know, it's our self. So really, what we're seeing is what we're looking for out there in the world. I know for me, when I first became a Christian, and even now I struggle with this, I have 30 plus years of experience in my own mind. And I know how I used to, and sometimes do, react to particular situations, and it may not be the proper way. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, and if we're going to take on that name of Christ, that it not be in vain, then we're to receive that mind of Christ by faith. Now, if we're processing all this information that we receive as we walk around in the world as Christ would, then it makes it a lot easier for us to act as he would have if he were here. See, that way we would be in Christ. I know that there's a lot of stuff out there where, you know, you have your own identity. You identify with something. You know, some guy might say he's a plumber, some guy might say he's, you know, a mathematician, you know, whichever. You identify with these things. What we're to do is identify ourselves as Christians. Now, one of the problems with the church out there is they've got a false identity. See, if we be Christians and we be the body of Christ, and we know that the Spirit of God, God Himself, is a male spirit, then how could we be the bride of Christ, be a female? This doesn't make any sense to me. And you see it out there in the world. You see men walking around as women, women walking around as men. I mean, what it comes down to is an identity crisis. And the solution to this identity crisis is Christ. Over in Hebrews, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to read one verse. Hebrews chapter 11, it's verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We need to have faith rightly placed in Christ if we want to move forward in Him and do things right. We have to cast off that old man, that old self, that old identity, and move forward in Him. We have to diminish ourselves. We have to die to ourselves that He might increase in us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Every move I make in you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your grace has captured me. Oh my God, this grace, how can it be? La 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 la. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your grace has captured me. Oh my God, this grace, how can it be? La 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 la. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your grace has captured me. Oh my God, this grace, how can it be? La 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 la.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Give the Lord a cheer. Well, praise the Lord. You know, last week, I was reading out of Proverbs. And today I'm going to do page 2. Now, I'm going to start out in Ephesians 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. See if I can make people happy today. I read this. It's an interesting way he put it. Look at it again. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, I read this, and I might see it a little different than some of you. Because I read this, and I see, when I look at the churches, that the churches are subject to Christ in exactly the same way that wives are subject to their husbands. And I don't think there's a man out there that's a true believer and honest will say his wife is subject unto him in all things. You look at the churches today and you look at the society today, and women want to rule over the men. You go to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, God's men. Not talking about women and children here. As for my people, God's men. Women rule over them. Children are their oppressors. I'm not looking at the page, so it's probably children are oppressors and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they that lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the ways of thy paths. Last week we looked at Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to turn to it. Verse 20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. If you turn, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. There's that beautiful promise at the end. If you'll hearken unto the Lord, take his reproof, repent, he will be with you. You will not have to fear. Now, look back here. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. Got one of those new Bibles that when you open it up, you can't see the first words of the sentences. So you got to really play with it to make it work. I'm going to start with verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. See, here's an order of things. There's an order of things that God requires. The head of every man is Christ. Not my wife. Not my children. Not the government. Not my friends down the street. My head is Christ. Now, Christ may put people in authority over me, like my employer at work, or a minister, but he is still my head. Amen? Doesn't change a thing. If you are under a minister, and Christ is your head, then you trust Christ in that minister. You don't trust the minister in Christ. You trust Christ in the minister. You go to Joshua, chapter 1. And God told Joshua that he would be with him in the same way he was with Moses. In the same way he was with Moses, he'd be with Joshua. But there was a condition, that he had to be strong and of a good courage. And when the people were made known of this, they declared unto Joshua that they would follow him in the same way they followed Moses. But they had two conditions. One condition was with God. The other condition was with Joshua. The condition they had with God was God be with Joshua. And the other was that Joshua be strong and of a good courage. If you're going to make Christ your head, men, and you're going to serve God, you got to be strong and of a good courage. You got to overcome your flesh. You have to overcome your feelings so that you can do those things that are right, even when you don't feel like it. You got to overcome fear. Well, they won't like me anymore. Let's see now. Let me think. All right. If I tell Scott a thing, he might not like me. But God will love me. But if I don't tell Scott a thing, Scott will like me. But God will hate me. Let's see which one I choose. What will I choose to do? My flesh says, make Scott like me. But my spirit says, obey God. Amen? Now, there's one other verse down here in this chapter I want to read. Verse 9. And this, I think, is important. I know there'll be people out there say I'm a woman hater. I'm not. I love women. I like them better than men, for the most part. They're definitely better to look at. All right. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. You go back in Genesis and you read what it says there about the creation. Man was created for God. You men out there, you want to know what your purpose is? It's to serve and please God. That was your created purpose. All right? You were not created to please a woman. You were created to please God. The woman was created as a helpmeet to the man. She was created to serve the man, so he could serve God. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this is not a theme that people want to hear today. It is not a theme to make one popular. And I know that what I'm saying, I will be condemned by most of the churches out there, and most of the preachers will condemn me for what I'm saying right now. But how can we obey God as a nation and receive His blessings if we do not get it right in the church? this country is going down the tubes rapidly. And Christians are doing nothing about it because they're out to serve themselves. And as Scott said, and I preached for years, the church lost its identity. The church walks around thinking it's a woman. And it's being wooed by God. It's going to be a bride. She's so pretty. She's so pretty. She's got to make herself up and be all presentable and nice and clean. So the bridegroom will be happy. I got news for you guys. I'm not a bride. I ain't going to be a bride. Ain't going to happen. No way, no how. I belong to the body of Christ. I belong to the church, which is the body of Christ. And I'll be standing there with Christ waiting for the bride when she comes down. Do you hear what I'm saying? The church has got it backwards. The church wants God to serve it. Christians are looking for God to serve them. I remember a Pentecostal preacher years and years ago. Her name was Joanne Barker. And I tried my best to minister to that woman. She never did get it right. She died of cancer. Never did get it right. I was in a prayer meeting one day. And she came up to me and we was praying for people. And I said, what do you want me to pray for? Oh, it's private intentions. Y'all ever hear that before? Private intentions. You hear it a lot in some of the Pentecostal churches. And I started to pray, and the Spirit of the Lord stopped me right there. Stopped me. And I said, wait a minute. There's no way I'm going to pray that God will grant you your desire. She said, what? I said, because your desire is that your husband be killed on the railroad tracks by a train on the way home. So you're free to go do what you want. Yep, that's the look she got. Her eyes got wide open. Looked like a deer in a headlight. How did you know? She said. I said, the Spirit of the Lord showed me. Repent. How can you serve God if you can't serve the one he's put over you? Her deal was that she wanted to go off and preach and be a minister and serve God, but as long as her husband was alive, she couldn't do it. You know what? Her husband ended up dying. And you know what? She still didn't do it. Still didn't do it. She came around, she lived with us for a while. We took her in. I tried to work with her. I remember coming downstairs one night, she was in my office, I had the door closed, and I heard this racket going on, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I mean, it sounded like some woman ragging out her husband at the top of her voice. I mean, she was going at it. And who's in there with you? Who you talking to? I'm sorry, I'm praying. I said, my God, if I was God, I'd slap you. I'd never let my wife talk to me that way. I mean, she was railing on him because he wasn't doing what she wanted him to do. That's an extreme case, but how many Christians today fall in that same category? Their prayers aren't about, Lord, how may I please you? How may I serve you? How may I make you happy? How may I be what you want me to be? How many Christians pray that prayer all the time? Or are they praying, Lord, I need this. Lord, I want that. Lord, do this for me. Lord, do that for me. Huh? Amen. Amen, Brother Usler. I pat myself on the back. So, truth. I remember one day she said, I had a vision. I said, this is going to be good to myself. I said, oh, what's your vision? She said, we were walking from the store, coming home. We had gone and got bread. And there was this Y in the path, and there was a hedgerow. And one part of the path went straight next to the hedgerows, but the other turned off and went up this mountain. And I turned off and went up the mountain because I wanted to climb the mountain of God. But you wouldn't do it. You kept going straight, and you wouldn't turn with me. And I got up on the mountain, and I started slipping and sliding. I was afraid of falling. And I called down to you to help me, come and help me. And I said, no, you come back down here. And she said, do you know what that meant? I said, I sure do. The Lord's way is straight and narrow, and I stayed on it. But you wanted to go your own way. You wanted to go up the mountain of pride. You wanted to go up and show everybody how great you were. And you started falling, and you wouldn't return. So you fell. And I said, if you don't turn, you will fall, and you will die. Shortly after that, she left, went to Georgia. She got herself associated with a church, had about 300 people in it. Was that right, Ann? About 300. Took her son Hal with her. Within a few months, everybody in that church was gone except her, the pastor, and his wife. She'd managed to run them all off. And she ended up dying of stomach cancer. She called me up and asked me to pray for her. I said, I ain't praying for you. Not until you turn around and repent. You've heard the word, but you refuse to believe it. Now it's killing you. Go back and look at Hebrews chapter 4. Look what it talks about. Hearing the word, but not doing it. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to fall short of it. For the word was preached unto them as well as unto us, but the word profited them nothing, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And that word mixed means to digest. You digest the word with faith. You can hear the word, but if you don't digest it, it'll kill you. You can get the best piece of beef in the world. The best piece of beef in the world and cook it to perfection. And if you eat of that beef and you don't digest it, it will kill you. It will putrefy and rot and poison you, and you will die. The Word of God is like manna in the desert. It'll bring you life. But if you hoard it, just don't use it, it putrefies. A lot of people hoard the Word, but they don't use the Word. They gather it unto themselves, but they don't digest it. Now this right here was telling us the order of things. Of course, I lost my place. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. When women in the church began to realize that in order for them to serve God, they must serve their husbands as unto the Lord. And the husbands learn that in order to serve God, they have to serve God. Now that doesn't mean you don't take care of your wife. Of course, husbands, you take care of your wife. You see to her needs. But you lead. You follow Christ. Let her follow you. And most of the women in the churches today think that they're the spiritual ones. And I've heard preachers preach it. Women are more spiritual than men. Yeah, I guess that was a problem with Eve. Now you go back and look at Adam and Eve. Adam was given a commandment by God. Amen? Did he follow it? No, he followed Eve. And it stunk to be us from then on. By that one man's sin, did sin and death come upon the whole world? Praise God, by the one man, Jesus Christ, and his obedience to God, even unto the death on the cross, we can be saved. We can be freed from that law of sin if we believe him and follow him. I turn loose of all the old crap and the cares of this world that so easily beset us. And let us grasp tightly and strongly the Word of God to be obedient to Him and to love Him and to serve Him as He wants us to do it. He doesn't serve us. We serve Him. He takes care of us. Steve mentioned in his service today a very good point. And under slavery, the slaves didn't have to worry about where their food was coming from or their clothing or anything like that, because as long as they served their masters, they were fed, taken care of. To be a servant of Christ means to be his slave. If we're about his business, we don't have to worry about where our food or clothing is going to come from. He will make sure we have it. Amen. And with that, that's all I got to say. So come on up and sing a song or something. Before I make people more happy.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. If it's what we need to hear, we need to hear it.
Yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord.
sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Jesus.
Dear Lord, we just come before you and we just ask that we hear your words, Lord, that you bring these words to light, not only to those that are here today, those listening online, but those that will listen to this message and follow this message in the future. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your words. And we ask that you watch over and bless each and every one of us as we go out today and along our days. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Amen.